Welcome back to His Time on Worldwide KFUO. It's time for a little worldview watch. Learn to see the world through the eyes of your Christianity. Our guest this morning, Dr. Bob Weiss of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. As always, dealing with a little bit of the life issue and the importance of believing in the value of humanity with some questions this morning brought to him by some high schoolers. We're going to try to take them on the air. Good morning, Dr. Weiss.
Hey, good morning. I just popped them towards you. I don't know if you can access your...
I will take a look right away while you say hello.
That's fine. They're under teenage questions. Yeah, I was at a Lutheran high school here recently, and they had a whole bunch of questions. And they're not confidential or anything, and there's nobody's names in them. But they apply to everything else. And just briefly, I want to just share with people that the three-parent child is starting up in England and coming over here. Well, that was in the Atlantic. That has to deal with mitochondrial DNA. So we're back to, once again, the basics of what it means to be a parent. We're also dealing with the whole issue of the Genetic Non-Discrimination Act. There's a new law coming out of our Congress that's going to take the Genetic Non-Discrimination Act and put it on hold. So people are going to be literally, and it looks like perhaps could be forced by their employers to use this, like this 23andMe, to give over some of that information, which could impact their livelihood. And so that's there. And they've tried some stem cell research here recently on two older ladies that one of their eyes, eyesight improved. They used fat cells. They reversed the fat cells into stem cells. There's a technology for that. But guess what? They injected these cells to make their eyes sort of become better. But in fact, the two ladies went blind. So when people start talking about stem cell research, it is still way, way, way far away from doing anything good except for bone marrow transplants and things that they've been doing for years. So those are things that are just happening out there in the world that call us to attention of what it means to be human. And in the context of we're more than our genes, we're a body and a soul. And I would just point people to to understand that we're more than a body and a soul, to look to Christ. But we are a body and a soul, and perhaps next time we can even address that question, because that was one of the questions one of the younger people asked. They said, if a person's heart stops and they die for periods at a time and then are revived, has their soul left their body? How about that one?
Yeah, these are deep questions looking at them here, and there's definitely too many for us to do in about the 8-9 minutes we have, but they're worth talking about. It shows you that our young people they're seriously considering their faith. These aren't like, did Jesus really walk on water questions? I mean, these are like real struggling spiritual questions. Sometimes I think we don't give our young people enough credit, and we throw them the children's stories and the children's songs when they're really ready to wrestle with the world they see. They're seeing more of it on the internet than we ever did.
Yeah, I think, Jonathan, one of the things I've heard in the parish, and I know you've heard, I've heard people say, well, you know, especially prior just to confirmation and on, say, Palm Sunday, which is going to be coming up, where many will be confirmed in Christ, their baptism, the baptismal vows, and their apostolic faith in Christ. I always hear this, well, they're the church of the future, but that's not really true. They are the church already. They're part of the body of Christ, the water, word, and faith. And so I think that we need to make sure that when these young people are there and they have these types of questions, like, one of these questions I think is really germane to even the life of everybody. How does one know that they are forgiven? I mean, this is a pretty basic question, because this individual says, you know, I get up there, I repent, but it's not anything, what's going on? I don't feel any sort of a warm, fuzzy feeling.
That hits on kind of, that hits on so many issues, the mysticism of our present age, where we're confusing knowledge with feeling. How do I know I have $1 million in my bank account? It really doesn't have to do with whether or not I feel like I have $1 million in my bank account. It's what the bank statement says. But, the question itself is looking for that feeling rather than the promise. And to fight against that in our culture, that's like trying to be a fish that doesn't live in water. It's almost impossible to ignore it.
Well, I think it goes back to your previous discussion on faith. Faith receives the good gifts of God in Jesus Christ. When we're talking about the gospel, means of grace, baptism, Lord's Supper, and so forth. But It doesn't mean, you know, when your sins are forgiven, your sins are forgiven, period. We don't have anything in the Bible where all of a sudden somebody's sins are forgiven and they're jumping up and down or they have some warm, fuzzy feeling. When Jesus said, go and sin no more, they just went. And they took that message back. We just had the story of the woman at the well, you know, and she went back and witnessed. So I think this type of information, when it talks about how does one know they are forgiven, I think it bears out its fruit, the fruit of repentance, as the scriptures talk about in the Old and New Testament, in the Christian witness that one gives, either by simply wearing a cross around the neck or sharing the good news of Jesus, like, well, here's what Jesus means to me. I've had one person ask me, well, what do I say to this transgender boy who sits behind me? You know, he's dressed as a girl. You know, because I'm very nervous about that, and I don't agree with that. And I said, well, the very first thing you can say is hi.
That's good.
You know, you can say hello. And I suggest that they wear a cross to their public, or certainly their parochial school. I know a lot of people wear crosses that are involved with different kinds of music. But from that standpoint in the high school, that's a Christian witness. That says something. It may strike up a note like, what do you have that cross around your neck for?
Right. I advocate the crucifix. If you can, because like you said, the cross has become something of a pop icon, and it doesn't really have a distinction anymore. But you put a little body on that cross, and people get nervous about it.
Yeah, yeah, they do. They get really nervous. You know, like, why is that? What's going on there? So I think that these types of questions, you know, is cross dressing a sin? I'll just share with your listeners. They can go study this in Deuteronomy 22:5. Where to the Lord it is a tovah in Hebrew. That simply means, as you know, an abomination. It literally stinks to the nostrils of the Lord. So he clearly is always teaching that we're male and female, and we have to approach our creation from the very basics. And we're back to the basics, as you always talk about, Pastor Fisk, of the creation, redemption, sanctification, so that it's if somebody says, well, it's not necessarily trans, well, of course it's not being transgender, but if one says, well, I don't like what I am, I think there's more deep issues there that perhaps need some referral issues, so that pastors, and I always encourage pastors to, whenever they refer somebody to a professional counselor that they know of, to get a release of information for them to follow up and ask questions and talk to the person who's helping this individual deal with these issues. So I really appreciate your comment about how these young people are searching out their faith. They have some very deep questions here.
Yeah, I want to jump back into after that question about knowing they're forgiven, because she says more, and there's something I just got to share with people out there too, because I think she puts her finger on a real kind of problem, but the answer maybe isn't the one you're looking for. So she says, you know, a struggle that puzzles me is that I say the things in church when we repent of our sins, but it feels like I just recited it like in a play, so to say. It feels like there is no significant meaning in my heart, and I try to find that meaningfulness. And it's true. It's easy in church to zone out. And this can happen with anything. And part of this is just recognizing that, you know, we got to do our part a little bit to pay attention. And we're pretty lazy. But I tell you, if you feel like the reciting of the confession of sin is not doing it for you anymore, it's just not really getting you up, I dare you to go confess your sins in private to the pastor. I promise you, your hands will be shaking. You will feel the fear of the Lord, because you'll be terrified to say anything, and that terror will be equivalently met by calm and confidence with the absolution. When, after having confessed your sin with that kind of reality staring you in the face, you get the same answer from the pastor, and he knows your darkest secret. He's going to love you all the more for it. So if you feel like you're just kind of going through the rote motions with confession and absolution, try it in private. I promise you, it won't feel like going through the motions.
Well, yeah, this is where I always try and encourage the fellows in pastoral theology the necessity of private confession absolution. My mom and dad went through that back in the 50s and the 60s and 70s at Trinity Lutheran Church in Edwardsville, and us four little boys would sit outside on the steps while they went into the sacristy, and there was the pastor, and there you are, and we kept thinking, what are they doing that for? You know, but you're correct. I mean, when you go face-to-face with one who is in the stead and by the command of Jesus Christ, sitting there listening to you with a kind, tender heart, and sharing the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, it gets to your heart. And I've seen this especially overseas when I've been over in Latvia, where, of course, before when the Russians left and they had occupied Latvia, now people get to go to communion where they did not before. And so after 1982, when I've been over there, all their floors are concrete, and these elderly people and younger people are kneeling on concrete. They're receiving the body and blood of Christ for the forgiveness of their sins and proclaiming his death until he comes. And there are the tears. I'm not saying that happens here, but I always also encourage people to close their eyes and meditate on the Lord's forgiveness in them, rather than looking around and saying how people are reacting. I think that also helps bring to the heart that that Jesus Christ does forgive your sins and he remembers them no more. That's why I like the snow. When the snow comes, though your sins be as scarlet, I make them as white as snow. So God's always given us these reminders, like the rainbow and snow, that in fact he is present in our lives.
Well, just a minute here, I want to pull out one more question, because I really like the snark of it. How do we deal with people who think that Christians are idiots? And it's not spit in their eye, I can tell you that. The answer is know your faith. Get your worldview in line with what the scriptures really say. Be ready to give an answer for those who ask about the hope that's within you, based on something more than your opinion or your feelings, based on what scripture says, based on what history and science and archaeology and the moral virtue reality, arguments from natural law can say. You got to know what you believe and why you believe it. And then you deal with them gently and honestly, recognizing you actually have the superior worldview. You actually have the answers. With just about 30 seconds here, Pastor Weiss, closing comments?
Well, I think I would just tap into that to say you do what St. Paul is, which is exactly what you said. You take them where they're at, and you share the love of Jesus Christ. You don't grind your axe, but you know that your faith holds to the words and promises of Jesus Christ. That's not being an idiot. That's being one who is a Christian that proclaims Jesus Christ as their Savior.
My guest, Dr. Bob Weiss of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. Worldview Watch, talking about life issues. As always, thank you, Dr. Weiss, for being with us today.
Yeah, God's peace to you and your listeners. Bye-bye.
Absolutely. You know, the world does think we're a bit silly. They're going to call us foolish because we believe in the power of a dead man on a cross. But the dead man on a cross, he's risen from the dead, ascended and reigning. And, universe, you better believe it, he's coming again, bringing his recompense with him, which for you, Christian, means I forgive you. That's a promise for the whole world. Believe it. It's true. He may not come back today or tomorrow, you know that, but either way, I look forward to waking up with you at the dawn.